Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 503 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, and I hope that you had an amazing 4th of July weekend. Things got started early in the week on Wednesday. That was the last day of work for me and my family. Thursday, we celebrated the 4th with my brother and his son and my dad, my wife and our kids. Just did a nice little stay-at-home barbecue kind of situation, and then over the weekend went and celebrated with some friends. And actually, along the way, my dad and my brother up in the St. Louis area found some of the, and I didn't bring a can in here with me, but the Hulk Hogan Real American Beer. And that was actually going to be this week's podcast. Last week, I did a Wrestling Under the Influence with four different American-themed beers and tied it to some lesser-known Patriot wrestlers. I was going to do the Hulk Hogan beer as a full-on podcast, but decided since I did a Wrestling Under the Influence last week, I just did a quick review on YouTube and on TikTok. So check that out if you haven't already. And I'm throw a few more comments, I guess, in since I'm sitting here now and thinking about it. You know, to me, the beer was fine. It wasn't anything to necessarily get excited about. I know that it's a very simplistic beer. It's a light beer. It's not anything fancy in terms of a craft beer, what you would expect from, you know, for example, Stone Cold Steve Austin's beers that have more of the science and the hops and all of that good stuff. And I'm not criticizing, I'm not knocking Hulk Hogan's beer. To me, it felt like, or it feels like, it's more of a cash grab. It's not necessarily something for, all beer drinker. I mean, it's something to appeal to all beer drinkers, to get someone to, anybody that enjoys beer is probably going to like this beer. There's nothing, like outside the box about it. There's no, you're not going to get far off the beaten path with it. And I'm probably not articulating this right without sounding like a beer snob, and I'm not trying to do that, but it is a very basic, you know, beer that, again, I look at the Austin beer and I look at some of the other craft beers that I enjoy, and there's something to it, and I can't quite explain what that is to me, but coming from a guy who for decades told us to take our vitamins and say our prayers and drink our milk, and now he's hawking beer, to me it feels a little askew. And again, we all as adults, we can all drink, and I'm not saying that Hulk Hogan shouldn't get into the beer business by any means, but to me it just all kind of felt way out of left field. And I'm sure that it's going to have great sales and it will be fine and all that good stuff, and I'm glad that it's there, and I hope that this opens the door for other wrestlers to get involved in the adult beverage space, like Stone Cold Steve Austin has done, like Hogan is doing now. I know Ric Flair has done some stuff in the cannabis industry, Kevin Nash, Rob Van Dam. So anytime that wrestlers can go mainstream with their products and their goods and services, I'm all for it. So in that regard, it's great. I'm a little cynical towards the Hulk Hogan brand as far as it being a beer brand, because again, it doesn't match up with what we grew up as young Hulkamaniacs. But again, times change, and that's all good as well. It just it has a different feeling, I guess. And I'm not trying to be negative, just my thoughts, my feelings, my opinions right now as I record this on July 7th, 2024. Now, a year from now, I may have a completely different perspective. There's a 6 or 7 different Hulk Hogan beers out there, and we're enjoying them. I may have a different outlook, a different perspective. But to me, it just felt kind of like a, hey, put your name on this and we're going to sell it. And that's fine too. That is completely fine too. You know, you don't have to be a beer snob or a beer connoisseur to get into the beer game. But, you know, with Stone Cold Steve Austin, for example, you know, I like the IPAs. I like the things that he does and what he's doing and where he's going. So anyway, I was going to turn this into a whole podcast, and obviously I'm not doing that now. So I've said my piece. I gave my review, and you know, I shared it at the July 4th party that I went to with a few friends, and they liked it too. So it, again, it's one of those beers that is going to resonate, where an IPA may, you know, some folks not into that or whatever. So again, it's just something that's very simplistic in terms of appealing to and appeasing many palates out there. And so, as I was at this party the other night, on Saturday night, I was kind of looking at my phone and just kind of watching results come in. I wasn't watching the show, but probably the biggest surprise of the night for me was, you know, not Drew McIntyre winning Money in the Bank and cashing in and failing, and, you know, not the pinfall. And I know people will talk about that because, you know, I point out things that happen in AAPW, gosh, throwing it way back in AEW. And so, yeah, there was a miscue with the music and with Damian Priest kicking out. I don't know all the details of what exactly happened, just based on what I saw online. Yeah, there was a snafu, and those things do happen everywhere, unfortunately. But I thought, from what I saw of the show, it looked like a pretty good show. You know, I can't wait to see what's going to happen when they bring in Roman back into the mix, and, you know, how he's going to fit in with everything that's going on. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, will Randy Orton eventually turn on Cody Rhodes, and where's that story going? Braun Breaker. I know people were disappointed that Braun was being booked so strong and so monster-like, and then he loses to Sami Zayn. I get that too. I don't know. Again, let's watch and see where the story goes and where it leads us. I still think Braun Breaker has a very, very bright future ahead of him. And we may be talking about him again here in just a few minutes. But to me, the biggest surprise of the night was when this man, John Cena, and this is an old school figure here. This is a 2003 Jack Pacific figure that my friend Jim recently gave me. He purged a bunch of old figures. So I held on to the John Cena. My little micro mini Funko is at my office at work, so I don't have access to that. That's my favorite John Cena figure that I've got, but not that I have many John Cena figures, but that's what I'm going to talk about this week on the podcast, and probably for many podcasts over the next 18 months or so, we'll be talking about John Cena, his contributions, what he has done, what he will do, what he continues to do, not just inside the ring, outside the ring, and beyond. Chad and I, just the most recent Movie Mania that we did was Ricky Stanicki, so go check that out if you haven't already. It is in the archives. You can watch it on YouTube or listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're doing that, also throw a review. Again, I want to thank Ken Johnson for recently doing that. And remind folks, Ken and some others have purchased their raffle tickets for that giveaway that we're going to be doing at the end of July for the My 1-2-3 Cents Wrestling Figure Drive. So again, I encourage you, if you haven't already, to get involved with that and make a donation and make a difference in the lives of children out there in Southern Illinois and beyond. So, but yeah, John Cena announcing that he is, at the end of 2025, going to retire. And this seemed like a very, well, it came out of nowhere. So I think that it did catch that shock value, the surprise, the mainstream coverage that I've seen. You know, this, like I said, happened on Saturday night. This is Sunday afternoon that I am recording. The show, of course, drops on a Monday, and it has gotten a lot of mainstream coverage from Fox News, from some of the local TV stations here where I live have run stories or put stuff on their social media about it. It's been kind of the talk of the week in pop culture entertainment news. So I want to talk more about that and the significance of John Cena, his retirement, and kind of what 2025 is going to look like, and the rest of 2024 for that matter. You know, I was very fortunate. The first WrestleMania that I went to was WrestleMania 22, and the main event was John Cena versus Triple H. And I got to admit that as we were standing there at the end of the night and they were playing Cena's music after he won, I got to tell you, the theme song, I found myself singing along with it and catching that infection of John Cena mania, if you will. Not that I was ever a huge John Cena fan prior to that. And I'm not going to say that I walked away a huge John Cena fan after that, but it did make me realize that this guy has connected with fans in ways that a lot of wrestlers, superstars, have never been able to do before. And I think that's a testament to him as a character, as a person, as a human being behind the scenes, in front of the camera, and all points in between. And this podcast this week it's just going to kind of be a hodgepodge, some thoughts and random feelings as they pop into my head as I think about some of the bigger moments of John Cena's career, or things that are going on and what has happened with him. First of all, let's say, you know, he's, like you said, he's looking at, and I'm basing this on the press conference after the show, after Money in the Bank. By the way, Tiffany Stratton, my God, I cannot talk this week. Cheers to her. I was kind of hoping that Chelsea Green would win, but I think that there's going to be more marketability with a pink briefcase, and I think they're going to really strap a rocket on the back of Tiffany Stratton. So I'm excited to see what is next for her. And of course, I think a lot of times these Money in the Bank winners go through a down period. I'm kind of glad they got the men's briefcase out of the way, because I feel like with Damian Priest, it lingered on way too long. And now I think if I saw everything and read everything correctly, it's over for the men now. Drew McIntyre lost that opportunity at the show. So we'll kind of wait and see as that story continues to develop. But back to John Cena and just kind of the impact that he has made on wrestling, on pop culture. He has, you know, made that transition. Chad and I have talked about it many times before on Movie Mania of how he has been one of those probably definitely big three in the last handful of years, he, Batista, and The Rock, to make the transition from the ring to Hollywood. I think that Cena is definitely up there. I've only seen his comedic roles. I know that he has had some more serious roles or some of those action thriller roles. Now, we did watch The Marine way back when, which I think was his first movie, but I think that he is going to have a great afterlife of WWE. He's already proven himself in Hollywood, and I think he will continue to thrive and be strong. But yeah, we're looking at 18 months of, you know, he's basically clearing, he's working, he's going to continue to do Hollywood stuff, but he's also going to give 30 to 40 dates, they said, or he said, in the ring, or with shows, with WWE events. I'm curious, will he do some of the live events? Gosh, they're not called house shows anymore, and I've forgotten what they're, you know, just doing these live events. Was it two summers ago, three summers ago? It was the summer of Cena, and he came back and did a few of those as well, and just kind of popped up on the house show circuit, which I think is cool. John Cena still has a lot of value. He's in great shape. He can get in there and still go and be someone that kids today. And that's the funny thing is, I said this figure is from 2003. John Cena made his debut in WWE in 2002. So if a kid back then was five, we're looking at what, 22 years ago, they probably have kids of their own or close to having kids of their own. So he has crossed into that multi-generational talent that kids will take their kids to hopefully go see this last tour of sorts for John Cena. I think there was some confusion because he said WrestleMania would be his last. I think the confusion was it's his last WrestleMania. So WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas. I think that does something for that event. Not that it needs any extra window dressing, but when you get into that, ever since The Undertaker retired and the streak has kind of lost its cachet, you always had the championship matches to look forward to. But there were, sometimes it felt like there was something lacking, something missing in the premium bouts. And now, putting John Cena out there in his last WrestleMania appearance, I think that will help boost with that as well. I'm not going to speculate on opponents or who it should be, who it could be just yet. I will wait. Chad and I will probably tackle this in a month or two or whatever. And like I said, we'll talk more about John Cena over the next several months. We're looking at about 18 months until the end of 2025, which is when John Cena will retire. And whatever that show is, you know, it's going to be interesting as WWE moves to Netflix in January of 25. Then you'll have Royal Rumble, he mentioned. He mentioned WrestleMania specifically. I'm sure he'll be a part of SummerSlam next year. Who knows what he'll be a part of for the rest of 2024. But I'm excited for him. I'm happy that he is going out this way. I think when you have these talents like a John Cena, like, you know, those bigger, larger than life in the ring, out of the ring characters, and they are able to get some fanfare on their way out. You know, we recently saw it with Sting in AEW when he announced, I think it was probably about 6 or 9 months that he announced that he was going to retire, and kind of the buildup with that. And I enjoyed seeing all that go on with him, because again, that's another one of those careers that deserves to be celebrated in a big, spectacular way. And I think that WWE will not spare any expense or screw up along the way on this farewell tour for John Cena. I think that probably one of the names that I would like to see in the hat, whether it's for his last match, whether it's for WrestleMania, and I, like I said, I have not put a ton of thought into this. I think that some fans are going to want to see old rivals renew. So whether it's CM Punk, whether it's Randy Orton, Sheamus, you know, there are plenty of rivals that Cena has had through the years that we could see him have a match against going forward and moving forward. But I wonder if they'll do this in a story type sequence where we are telling John Cena's final chapter of his story, and building and working to get other talent over in the process. That's where I think WWE kind of, when Ric Flair had his retirement in 2008, and they were throwing him in there with just anyone, and the stipulation was if he loses, then he has to retire now. I like the fact that we're marching to a final destination, whereas with Flair, we weren't sure where it was going to happen. Now, obviously, it did end up happening at WrestleMania, at least for his WWE in-ring career, but I'll be curious to see where it goes and how it goes along the way. Sting won his last match in the tag team match with Darby Allin against the Young Bucks. I don't think there's the one thing about wrestling is there's no written rule as far as how things have to end or how things have to be, how things have to be presented. I think that John Cena could easily go in there and win his last match, whether it's a singles match, a tag team match, whether it's done in a way to help someone else get over in the process as in a tag team partner. I think that it could be any of those types of scenarios and circumstances. Chad and I got to see Cena wrestle against Austin Theory at WrestleMania 39. We saw Cena's appearance briefly at the end of WrestleMania 40, helping Cody Rhodes. So yeah, I would love to see Cena brought in and used in ways to help get over to other talent. But also, you know, I don't think he has to go in there and put over people to help them get over. And that will be conversations that I'm sure Chad and I will have in more depth in the weeks and months to come. Because we have about 18 months before the end of 2024, or I'm sorry, the end of 2025. So it's going to be great to see. And I think, though, that probably at the top of the list, a lot of people probably thinking this as well, is Bron Breakker. Where does he fit into all of this? Because, you know, as we build new talent and as older talent retires, steps aside, goes away, whatever the case may be, this is like a legitimate, you know, I don't think John Cena will do a big, grandiose 18-month farewell tour and then be back 6 months later or a year later and wrestle in Saudi Arabia. I don't see that happening. I think that they will put just about everything into this farewell tour. And I think that had The Undertaker, you know, had he not decided to retire during the COVID year, his farewell tour would have looked much different as well. But I think John Cena is one of those talents, man. You just get him in there and he's going to tell stories and he's going to just make it work. And I'm happy and I'm excited for him and I'm excited to watch and see what is going to be next, how WWE will incorporate current talent to work with John Cena and how John Cena will move on and move beyond WWE. I think it's going to be a great, great time, a great, great run. You know, 30 to 40 events in 2024, that's going to be a lot. You know, it's obviously not going to be every week on Raw or SmackDown. It's going to be probably a lot of the premium live events, I would imagine, the international shows, perhaps. I think it's great that, you know, he's able to do this and maybe work something out with Hollywood and being able to take some of that time. Because let's face it, you know, John Cena is nearly 50 and being in the ring and running that Hollywood schedule, you know, we saw The Rock do that during WrestleMania season. And I think we do see The Rock again. Maybe we get part three of Rock and John Cena. I think that for sure it's going to be a great ride, a great run for a man who has had an amazing career, one of the all-time greats. And again, John Cena is not on my Mount Rushmore favorites. I don't think he's even on the Mount Rushmore of all-time greats, but he's definitely up there. I respect him more, I think, you know, in the last several years than I have, you know, obviously respect and appreciate his commitment to WWE and what he has done. But even the stuff beyond that, the extra stuff, the Make-A-Wish, for example, I mean, he is still the biggest Make-A-Wish granter in the history of that organization. You know, how can you not respect and appreciate and love someone like that? He may be the drizzling shits in the ring and we don't like him the way he wrestles, but as the person, I mean, how could you even for a second criticize or question that? So that's where I'll leave this week's episode. Like I said, I know that we will talk more about John Cena. We'll, I'm sure, have another film or two along the way to review in his film library. But I just wanted to give a shout out and show a little appreciation, a little respect for John Cena. You can't see me either now, so thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode. I apologize for that you can't see me thing. That was pretty bad. But we will talk again very soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.